Welcome to the podcast service of the Massachusetts Climate Action Network. Visit us online at massclimateaction.net or friend us on Facebook.
Hi, and welcome to the Climate Minute, your source for insight and perspective on global warming news. My name's Ted McIntyre, and this show is for the week of November 7th, 2015. Today we're joined by our frequent guest, the prolific commentator, Mr. D.R. Tucker. How you doing, D.R.?
Good. How you doing?
Good. Great to have you with us, as always. So, D.R., we have pontificated at great length on the evils of a trade deal called the Trans-Pacific Partnership, which has been negotiated essentially in secret by governments and corporations over the last 8 to 10 years. And the sunlight has finally been allowed to shine on the TPP because the Obama administration released the full and glorious text of the TPP just recently, right? And we have to admit that we're making this show not so long after the TPP has been released. There's not a lot of analysis. Certainly, I have not read it. And so we will be talking about it, but we're gonna hear lots more about this, right, DR? So tell me what happened.
Exactly. They have released the full 6,000 pages of the TPP, or as the radio host Tom Hartman calls it, the Southern Hemisphere Asian Free Trade Agreement, or as he calls it, SHAFTA. this thing. Ed Kilgore of the Washington Monthly notes that now that it's been released, there will be a 90-day review process created under the Trade Promotion Authority legislation that was approved by Congress earlier this year.
So time out, the Trade Promotion Authority passed by Congress, which gives Obama the freedom to negotiate in secret and then sets this timetable you're talking about, right?
That's correct. And after that 90-day period ends, there'll be another 90-day period, according to Ed Kilgore, during which Congress will either approve or disapprove the agreement. And he notes that the first 90-day window will close on February the 3rd, at which point it would then go on to Congress for an up or down vote.
Eligible for an up or down vote.
Eligible for an up or down vote, exactly. And Kilgore notes that this will be occurring during the height of political debate during the presidential primaries. He notes that in addition to the candidates who've always been very vocal against the TPP, perhaps none has been more vocal than Donald Trump, who's expected to really lay into it, and it should be the focus of a lot of controversy as more and more details come out about just what is in the TPP. I saw one story saying that if you try to add apps to your smartphone that are not permitted in the official app distribution system such as Google Play, you could be in violation of the TPP and find yourself in a lot of legal trouble. So that ought to be very, very interesting. Don't jailbreak your phone, people.
Well, I think that, I mean, your point about this will be coming to a head in the middle of a very highly political season. I think presidential candidates on both sides have declared. And on top of that, the TPP cuts across partisan lines in funny ways, right?
I think there are,
we will see going forward, but they say politics makes strange bedfellows. I mean, we could have some really weirdo alliances coming up because of the nature of what's in the TPP. Again, we haven't read it. We've tried to catch up with some of the early analyses that are online, but what we do know is that in that 6,000 pages, there's lots more than just stuff about trade. There's lots of other topics about intellectual property, and there's all kinds of stuff in there that can be problematic, that many people will find, either to like or to hate. And I guess one of the comments that I saw, which I thought was interesting, was that the TPP has so many features on its 6,000 pages that everybody likes or dislikes a little part of it, right? So as climate hawks, we are all over this investor-state dispute resolution system, right? We can talk about that in a minute. But other people have equally valid concerns about pharmaceutical distribution, and is that going to be fair? And all kinds of stuff. And I guess the question going forward will be whether or not those opponents can all get on the same side of something and push together, as opposed to being this fractured opposition that everyone wants their one little thing taken out.
Yeah, and hopefully it'll focus a lot of discussion about the risks of these trade deals, not only from an environmental perspective, but from all sorts of perspectives. Tom Hartman, I mentioned before, him calling it Shafta, he had an interesting segment on his cable show the other night where he talked about the news story that I'm sure you've seen about the dramatic increase in suicide rates in the United States, and he noted that if you do a little plot line, if you do have a chart plot line, you will see spikes in U.S. suicide rates commensurate with the full implementation of various trade deals. He was basically the argument that these trade deals ship jobs overseas, and then when people can't feed themselves, can't supply for their families, they basically, you know,
psychological sort of issues ensue.
Exactly, which leads to suicide. So it's like, these sorts of deals are from all sorts of perspectives. If you think about it, life or death deals, they just don't make any sense. They serve only, you know, it's the old saying, them that has gets more, essentially. They're not beneficial, they're not wise, and the notion that you're
as Elizabeth Warren has said, right, when the process is rigged, the output is rigged. Right?
Exactly.
And from any reasonable reading from the outside, this treaty has been an insider's game, all done in secrecy to the benefit of the people around the table. And as we have said in some previous show, Bill McKibben was not at the table, right? Mm-hmm. Union leaders were not at the table. So let me just quickly
rehearse.
They were
thrown under the table.
Well, there you go. Under the bus, maybe. Just quickly, if you don't know what the investor state dispute resolution system, it is a extrajudicial, not even American, tribunal where a company like ExxonMobil could bring suit against the United States government for basically if the U.S. government passes a law like a carbon tax that denies ExxonMobil profits they expected, in quotation marks, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because having not seen the text, I don't know if the expect is in there, but the fear is that this is a way for corporations to go around the sovereignty of countries, especially in environmental regulations. So anyway, the TPP is new. We will be back by February 3rd. We'll probably all be tired of saying TPP. I'll have to come up with a few new acronyms for what TPP stands for.
I love Hartman's acronym Shafta. That's the best one.
Before we leave the TPP, DR, you made a good point about the Conference of the Parties coming up in November, as it relates to the TPP. What did you say before?
I was noting the irony of how you can have a deal in Paris and then in from there simultaneously supporting a trade deal that could basically essentially sabotage a Paris deal. And we noted, the whole irony of the United States and Indonesia saying they want action to reduce greenhouse gas emissions, but yet they're both big cheerleaders for the TPP, which has the ISDS, which would sabotage such a goal.
I think even on top of that, the whole idea that we have this huge trade deal in which carbon dioxide emissions are not even mentioned, right? I mean, managing those carbon dioxide emissions will have huge impacts on economies and whatnot. Mm-hmm. And it's not even included in the TPP. It's, in fact, the U.S. Congress was trying to make sure no one could even talk about it. Right.
And it's another point that Hartman has made, that when you have these trade deals, in order to implement them, in order to move those goods, they eventually result in tremendous fossil fuel consumption. So if you think about NAFTA and some of these other trade deals, how much they've worsened the problem of climate change, and then you can have another one, potentially, if it's not stopped.
So we'll be back to the TPP, but there was another interesting interesting development this week, so I'll set it up there. We have talked in past weeks about the report by a website called Inside Climate, where they detailed the fact that Exxon Corporation, their scientists had done detailed studies on climate as early as 1977, and by the mid-80s were communicating to their management that climate change was an inevitable and serious risk of burning fossil fuels. And as we know, companies like Exxon went to the dark side in the mid-80s and started the whole denial industry. Right, DR? So what happened this week in terms of Exxon and all that kind of stuff?
Well, there was an extraordinary story. It was reported that New York State Attorney General Eric Schneiderman issued a subpoena to ExxonMobil demanding financial records, emails, and other documents to determine whether or not the company lied to the public about the risks of greenhouse gas emissions or to their own investors about how those risks might hurt or affect their industry. According to Inside Climate News, Schneiderman has subpoenaed documents going all the way back to January of 1977, internal documents, including their advertising, including statements they issued to the American Petroleum Institute, including documentation of their donation to climate denial groups. And basically what they're trying to determine is if Exxon violated what is known as the Martin Act. And according to Inside Climate News, the Martin Act forbids, quote, any fraud.
Just keep in mind, this is the Martin Act is a New York state law. Right?
Yes.
And the reason this all has consequences is because of the New York Stock Exchange and all that kind of stuff, that the Attorney General of New York has extraordinary powers, more than almost any other Attorney General, to look into these kind of things, right?
Yes, and it should be noted that I believe Exxon's headquarters, those headquarters were in New York until I believe the mid-80s, till about 1986 thereabouts. But in any event, the Martin Act forbids, quote, any fraud, deception, concealment, suppression, false pretense, or any representation or statement which is false, unquote, and gives the state broad powers of discovery, according to Inside Climate News. So in other words, what they're trying to determine is if ExxonMobil deliberately defrauded their own investors, their own stockholders, defrauded the public. And if they did, then it is the exact same thing that the tobacco industry did back in the day.
And just the this Martin Act investigation in New York is not a RICO investigation, right?
No,
the racketeering influenced and corrupt organization, RICO. That's a federal bill, right? Which is an entirely different set of charges. So now Exxon is doubly exposed.
Exactly. And there is some speculation that this investigation might encompass other fossil fuel companies. The New York Times reported that Schneiderman has also been investigating and has subpoenaed Peabody Energy, the nation's largest coal producer. Apparently, this is an investigation that's been going on for over 2 years over whether Peabody Energy properly disclosed financial risks related to climate change. The investigation is still ongoing. And, we know that Senator Sheldon Whitehouse has also suggested that attorneys general, he himself was a former attorney general, that attorneys general should investigate other fossil fuel companies to see if they're also hiding evidence of the risks of climate change, and also if they're also trying to deceive the public. Bill McKibben, in a statement to Inside Climate News, suggested that the Securities and Exchange Commission should start looking into whether ExxonMobil committed fraud. So this could be a very, very, very big. What did Joe Biden call it? A big bleeping deal with regard to the healthcare bill. This is the biggest of all bleeping deals.
And tell DR, what sort of media coverage has this thing garnered?
It has gotten intense media coverage, the likes of which I haven't seen for a story about climate change in a long time. Virtually every major financial newspaper, virtually USA Today, Washington Post, LA Times, New York Times, as much coverage as you can imagine, because this is a pretty big deal to have, as Bill McKibben calls it, the biggest company in the history of money potentially facing fraud allegations and potentially being prosecuted for ignore those allegations. It has been noted that this current ExxonMobil CEO Rex Tillerson was on Fox Business recently, basically saying I knew nothing, and essentially denying that they had ever denied.
And a lot of people are not.
You do wonder if he's going to throw the previous CEO, Lee Raymond, under the bus, because it was under Lee Raymond that the real denialism began. Mm-hmm. So it's going to be interesting to see if there's going to be some sort of a feud between the current CEO and the former CEO. But the potential of ExxonMobil facing state-level prosecution and potentially still federal prosecution if the Justice Department does go after them, this could be pretty big. And you also do wonder, will there be other investigations of other fossil fuel companies. Could this be just an entire, you know, could the entire carbon cartel go down, basically?
Yes, we will talk about it here. So, DR, we're closing in here, but there were two, I just wanted to sort of make mention of two weather events, right? We don't usually get into the weather events because I don't know, but Hurricane Patricia was the most intense Pacific storm, and it landed in Mexico. It didn't do a lot of damage, fortunately, because it landed in a fairly uninhabited place and then ripped itself apart of the mountains, right? But then the other was rather an unusual hurricane that hit Yemen in, I think it's the Arabian Sea. And, of course, in that case, I think that put down something like a year's worth of rain in a couple of days into this. Yemen is a dry, deserty country, which of course is ravaged by a civil war, which in some analysis you could connect to climate change. I mean, this is this stuff's happening, right?
Exactly. Cyclone Chapala, which dumped, as you noted, several years worth of rain on Yemen in one day. It is just another example of what happens when you have extreme weather meeting troubled countries, and you know
that's only going to happen more often going into the future.
You talk about years of living dangerously. As CNN reported that it made landfall Tuesday near an Al Qaeda stronghold on Yemen's central coast. How nice! And it is forecast to drop the amount of rain Yemen usually. It was forecast to drop the amount of rain Yemen usually gets over 2 to 3 years in just 24 hours. So again, the combination of extreme weather and extreme instability. It's not a pretty picture.
Our hearts go out and our best wishes to all the people that have been affected by these terrible storms. But you know, we always talk about politicization. I mean, these storms are, if not climate related, at least give us a taste of what is likely to happen. Anyway, DR, we gotta put it down there. We'll tell all of our listeners that they can check out the links to most of what we discuss at the MCAN blog. So you want to go to www.massclimateaction, all one word, massclimateaction.net /blog, right, to get to the blog page, and you can listen to the show and click on the links there. You can find you can get to us through Facebook, so go to /massclimateaction and click through to the show. Please share us with your friends. You can listen to us directly on your smartphone using Stitcher or TuneIn Radio. You, of course, can find us on iTunes, right? Go into podcast, search for Massachusetts Climate Action. So we'll close the way we always close, by saying that because we recognize the necessity of personal accountability for our actions, because we accept responsibility for building a durable future, because we believe it is our patriotic duty as citizens to speak out, we must insist that the United States put a price on carbon. As always, DR, thank you so much for being here.
Thanks.
And thanks to everyone for listening. See you next week. Bye-bye.
Thanks for being with us. And until next time, be green.
Very cool.